This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdal. Secretary of State Antony Blinken met with his Russian counterpart in Geneva today, the latest in a long series of meetings about Ukraine. Putin has tanks on the ground over there, troops as well. The White House and European allies have made it pretty clear their economic sanctions are about as far as they are willing to go. But the catch is that since the annexation of Crimea and Russia's cybersecurity threats and its election interference, plenty of sanctions have already been levied on Moscow. So now what do you suppose Biden does? Eddie Fishman's at the Center for New American Security. Also, he's an Obama State Department veteran. Welcome to the program. It's good to have you on.
Thanks, Kai. Great to be here.
So as you just heard, and as you know, there is already a pile of sanctions on Russia. Put yourself in the mind of Secretary of State Blinken and his policy planning staff, and talk to me about what you think they might be considering now.
The most important thing to know is that the sanctions in place in Russia today are still relatively modest. I think there is this misconception that Russia has a lot of sanctions that have been applied to it. Yeah. The truth is there was a big first wave of sanctions in 2014, but they really haven't been ratcheted up too much in the last 8 years. What the Biden administration could do today is impose what are called full blocking sanctions on Russian banks and companies. Those are the sanctions that actually cut off a bank from the entire U.S. financial system. And it does seem like if Russia did make the decision to invade Ukraine, the Biden administration would be ready to impose some full blocking sanctions on Russian banks and companies.
And certainly the White House, the president himself, and Secretary of State Blinken have been talking the talk. But it occurs to me that these sanctions do not come without cost to the United States and conceivably our allies if we can get them to go along, which is a whole other question I'll get to in a minute.
That's exactly right. And I think this is probably the biggest debate that's going on internally within the Biden administration, because if you are going to actually be ready to impose full blocking sanctions on Sberbank, which is the largest bank in Russia, or impose sanctions that would affect Russia's ability to export oil, which of course would be a major escalation in penalties, they're going to affect the global economy and certainly Europe and maybe even the United States. So I think what we have to look at, though, Kai, is the goal now is to avert a major war in Europe. And we should be prepared to absorb some political, economic, and diplomatic costs if what we're going to get is deterring a war.
Well, all right. So the mention of a land war in Europe, which just it seems to me incredible that we're actually, you know, using those words, right? You have to get the Europeans on board. And there are 27 members of the European Union. They have to act in concert to impose sanctions. What do you think? Spitball that for me.
Sure. And I think, you know, up until now, the U.S., certainly during the Obama administration and during the Biden administration, has put a premium on coordination with the EU. And I think that's really important because I think one of Putin's goals, in addition to, you know, bringing Ukraine into his sphere of influence, is to divide the transatlantic community. But I would be surprised if the European Union is willing to go as far as it will, you know, require to deter Russia with sanctions. So I think that the Biden administration is going to have to be willing to act alone and faster than Europe, if it really is going to impose the type of sanctions that are required to deter Russia.
I heard the other day on a different public radio program, whose initials are All Things Considered, that it was Alexander Vindman, who we all know from the impeachment trials. He said that Russia has been hardening itself against sanctions since 2014. That Putin probably had some inkling that he was going to do this and that we were going to do that. Do you buy that hardening notion?
It's definitely the case that Russia has become more resilient to sanctions. The sanctions, like I said, that were put in place in 2014 weren't all that strong, and they still sent the Russian economy into a tailspin. The ruble collapsed. Russia, had a significant contraction in GDP. What Putin has done in the interim is really rebuilt the Russian economy. They now have foreign exchange reserves in excess of $600 billion. That said, they're not invulnerable to sanctions. And certainly if the Biden administration was willing to actually use the sanctions tools that the United States possesses, it could send the Russian economy into a tailspin again, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yes, Russia is more resilient to sanctions, but they're certainly not invulnerable to them.
Last thing, and then I'll let you go. The United States is the biggest, most powerful economy in the world, at least for now. And the Chinese are coming up fast, right? But for now, we're it. And yet economic sanctions are just so hard to do, and often they don't work, right?
That is true. And I think that's because sanctions are not a silver bullet. They're extremely effective at imposing economic pain. The United States could unilaterally, by itself, at the stroke of a pen, impose devastating economic consequences on Russia. The real question is, to what end? will those consequences change Putin's calculus? And many times the answer is no. And I think that's what we're all waiting to see right now, Kai.
Eddie Fishman, he was in the State Department in the Obama administration, also now at the Center for New American Security, and also Columbia and the Atlantic Council. Mr. Fishman, thanks for your time, sir. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.